Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. This hour, what do they have that we don't? Wisconsin is on the prowl for our millennials. Governor Scott Walker is already running ads in Chicago to lure young people away from the Windy City. Now he wants millions more dollars to target the Twin Cities and beyond. At the moment, Minnesota, Iowa, Massachusetts, North Dakota, and D.C. all rank higher for millennial quality of life than Wisconsin, according to Wallet Hub. And Rochester, Minnesota, where we were just talking to Kat Richard from, made the top spot for livability in 2016 at livability.com. But with the selection of southern Wisconsin for the Foxconn plant, Walker may think he's on a roll. So as our guests join us, I need to hear from you. If you're between, let's say, 18 and 35, does Wisconsin offer you something you can't get in Minnesota? Maybe it's more affordable living. Maybe it's proximity to places that you like. Maybe it's better job prospects. And how could Minnesota do a better job of attracting and keeping people your age? I think that's really the overall big question here. I mean, this is fun to think about the cross-border battle, but I want to hear from you on whether Wisconsin offers something that you can't get in Minnesota, and you're looking at the rents you're paying or affordability of different places to live in the metro or in rural Minnesota. Maybe it's better job prospects. Could Minnesota do something better in attracting and keeping people your age? Here's the phone number, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter. And man, my Twitter feed has been on fire today. I tweeted this out at like 7:15 this morning, and I've got a lot of stuff to read here. So thanks for the responses, but keep it coming. At Carrie, K-E-R-R-I. NPR. Bridget Bowden is Wisconsin Public Radio reporter, and she is here to represent Wisconsin. Hey, Bridget. Hi.
Hi, Carrie.
Good to have you on the show. And Matt Lewis is in the studio with me. He is director of Make It MSP. Is that right, Matt? Hey.
That's correct.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Good to have you in the studio here. So, Bridget, these cross-border raids aren't that unusual when it comes to companies. Right. I mean, I think Minnesota and Wisconsin have been competing for companies for a while. But how unusual do you think it is to have a state and a governor going after a specific group of residents of one state? What'd you find out in your reporting on this?
Yeah, I mean, certainly young people, millennials, are a hot commodity no matter where you are. As the population ages across the country, really, cities and towns are looking at how they can maintain their populations. And the way that they can do that is by attracting more young people to live where they are. So it makes sense that people want young people to live in their state.
So, Matt, how familiar are you with this idea of we'd like to grab each other's companies because those are jobs and governors like to talk about jobs, but really going after one specific demographic in a different state, common or not?
It's becoming more common,
is
actually,
it?
The last couple of years. And some cities are doing this, some regions, and some states. So news from Wisconsin, but we've been looking at this all across the country. As someone who fits into that 18 to 35-year-old demographic, just barely, it's nice to be wanted, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, are they – when you look at the marketing materials here, do you think – Minnesota might have to do better to fend off attempts like this to attract millennials?
Well, I see a couple things. I see in the messaging of what you shared before the show, the things about commute times and things like that is pretty typical of what we're seeing states and regions across the country doing. What we started here is we actually saw this coming. And so a lot of the work we've been doing is looking at people who are leaving, actually, and
uh-huh.
making a stronger case.
Who's leaving? Tell me about that.
Well, you were talking about, I didn't listen to it, but I heard that earlier this morning you were talking about diversity and inclusion on here. And mm-hmm. one of the conversations I know we've brought to NPR before is about the fact that people of color are leaving at higher rates than their white peers.
Are they going to a place like Wisconsin? Or
they're not.
Iowa?
And actually, okay. So we'll get into, I'm sure, some of the fun border battle. But, you know, a lot of the challenges that Wisconsin faces are the challenges that Minnesota faces and vice versa. The strengths we have are similar. And so you're seeing, you know, Wisconsin and Minnesota in many cases do have large disparities. And so that's an issue. But we've started in the work that we're doing to attract talent. We start at home and trying to retain talent. And that's your, you know, if you're a sports fan, your best offense is a good defense. And that's the way we're playing it here.
So, Bridget, what about that diversity issue? I mean, that's not the specific play that Walker and these marketing ads are making, but it looks like there's opportunity, given what Matt just said, to get some people into Wisconsin.
No, it's certainly not the approach that these ads have taken. The ads that are in Chicago, for example, really focus on lifestyle, living in Wisconsin versus Chicago. But there is certainly ground to be gained as far as diversity in Wisconsin. I agree with you that we have work to do here.
Brian says on Twitter here, I'm a Gen Xer. And a word of warning to millennials, if you move to Wisconsin, you have to live in Wisconsin. To the phones to Heather in Rochester, Minnesota. Hey, Heather. Hi. Glad you called from Rochester.
Hi. Yeah. So thanks for taking my call. I'm kind of from both places. I graduated high school from Wisconsin and then came down to Winona State and have a 4-year degree. And I think Minnesota really is really beneficial because we have we've raised the minimum wage from the federal minimum wage from $7.25 to like what now $10.50.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a waitress, so I serve a lot of people who come from out of town to go to the Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea that we don't make just $2.13 an hour like they do in Wisconsin as servers. And I think that's a huge benefit because now that keeps me from having to put my kids in daycare. And I can work nights, my husband can work days. And I think Minnesota really has, like, boosted its economy by giving us a better wage.
This is a really good point. I hadn't thought about where minimum wages are. But what's interesting about that, Matt, is sometimes when that's being debated politically, the argument goes, if you raise the wage in Minnesota, fewer jobs will be created here and people will move to Wisconsin, that businesses, where they wouldn't have to pay that wage. She's making the opposite argument there.
Well, I think what you hear in Heather's comment is when you're talking about selling a place as a place to live and work, right? This is one of the most important products you're going to buy, right? And so you think about people's hierarchy of needs, right? And the first place it starts is, am I going to be financially secure?
Right.
And so Heather brought up her family. And that's the first question that people have. And if you can answer that question, then you can get to some of the things like quality of life and fun bells and whistles. And so it's not actually where we start. We start with, what do people care about? And they care about, they certainly care about a secure life for them and their family. And they care about the future and the opportunity to grow in that career. And so we've kind of started there, and we've started with employers and the professional opportunity that people have in the state.
Call here from Susan in Minneapolis. Hey, Susan, you called early. What do you want to talk about this?
Hi there. Well, I'm not a millennial, but I've got a couple, and I can tell you that Wisconsin has a serious image problem.
Ah.
Between Walker and Ryan and some of the politics of Wisconsin, they're not working like Minnesota is to create livable communities. You've got an image of Wisconsin moving back to the 50s, anti-worker kind of mentality, something where you write work states, union busting, pension dismantling, that sort of thing. It's not going to attract millennials. They're savvy. They're looking for good quality of life. Minnesota is focusing on the kind of things that young people and young families want. Like.
Okay. Susan, I think I get the picture there. And Bridget, I hear Susan on this. You remember, you probably covered the big teacher demonstrations, the recalls that followed for Scott Walker. I mean, is this part of trying to restore the image of Wisconsin at which Scott Walker was kind of at the center of?
Well, so I should actually say that I did not cover that. Ah. I did not live here at that point.
Where did you live, myself, by the way? You're a transplant to Wisconsin.
I am a millennial transplant to Wisconsin. So I moved here from Missouri in 2015. Mm-hmm. So I was not here for that time in Wisconsin's history. But it is certainly something huge that happened here. You know, maybe the biggest news event in the last 20 years. So It definitely shapes how people think about this state on both sides, people that support what happened and people who do not.
Morris says on Twitter, Carrie, don't you live in Wisconsin? Doesn't that give you a side in this discussion? Yes, I live right over the border. No, that does not give me a side in this discussion because I also lived in Minnesota for many years. If you've just tuned in, it's a conversation about, it's a friendly conversation, but with something kind of serious at the center of it. Wisconsin is running ads to draw millennials out of Chicago to live in Wisconsin. And now the governor has gone to ask for more money to really market hard at Minnesota to grab some of our millennials to move to Wisconsin. And we're talking about the pros and the cons of that. And I want to hear from you if you're in that millennial age group. I'm kind of broadening it, 18 to 35. Do you think Wisconsin offers you something that you can't get here in Minnesota? I want to talk about affordable living here because I think this is a big deal and this is one of the things that Wisconsin's going after. Is it getting expensive if you live in the Twin Cities? We know what the rents are like here. Maybe it's the proximity to places that you like to go to. Maybe it's better job prospects. If you've made the move, oh, this would be super interesting too. You left Minnesota to go to Wisconsin, or vice versa. Tell me about that too. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter at Carrie NPR to Joshua in Rochester. Hey, Joshua. Hi. What's your experience with this?
Hi. So I'm originally from Louisiana. My family moved to Minnesota in around 2000. And so I was a young kid then. I'm 25 now. I'll be 25 in June.
Uh-huh.
And when we moved to Minnesota, we moved to Minnesota and then to Arizona and back to Minnesota. So I was able to experience the gamut of, you know, education systems, the jobs that my parents had. And it was just really evident that every time we came to Minnesota, the education and the job opportunities were far and above anything most other places that, you know, were able to offer.
Yeah.
And as far as, like, Wisconsin, I agree with what the previous talker was talking about, how Wisconsin has an image problem. You think about Minnesota, you know, we've got people here in office that actually listen to their constituents and listen to the people. And I think that's just a huge, huge important thing for Minnesota. Especially as far as like job opportunities, I had my first child when I was 16. And even though because of that, I was able to get my GED, get a job, move up in different companies, and still able to afford,
good
job, you know, a place to live for my family.
So you're you're staying put in Minnesota is what I hear here, Joshua. Yes?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The image problem, Matt. I'm curious about how you look at that and whether that's something that Make It MSP can do something with.
Well, so when we started our initiative, one of the things we did was actually sit down with about 800 people who had moved here in the last year or two.
Mm, like a focus group of 800?
A lot of them, a lot of conversations. I've got a lot of stories in my head from that.
Yeah.
And one of the things we learned from that was we tended to exceed people's expectations. And so for Minnesota, I can't speak to Wisconsin because I haven't done the homework. But for Minnesota, it tended to be that people had almost no perception. So it wasn't a negative perception.
Wait,
it was just
of
a
Wisconsin
white space.
Or Minnesota?
Of Minnesota. Of Minnesota.
Really?
So in my experience—
Geez,
you know,
that's a good thing?
Well, what we find here is we have opinions, as we're hearing from our listeners, on Minnesota and Wisconsin. What you find when you go to other parts of the country is that, frankly, they don't know quite much about either of us.
Yeah.
And so part of the work that we've been doing is trying to figure out, you know, what can we tell people about this place that they actually want to hear about and value? There's a lot of things that we're proud of our legacy here, but for people that are making a huge decision in their life and you're hearing it from the callers of education or jobs or other things that they care about, I'm letting them know what's happening here. And so I think you're starting to see a little bit of that from our neighbors in Wisconsin as well.
So, Bridget, I wonder if your experience having moved here from somewhere else is like mine. When I said I moved up here to take a job in television, and when I said to the people where I was living, and it was in the South, that I was moving to Minnesota, people were like, where? When you left Missouri to move up to Madison, I mean, did people have an image of what Wisconsin was like, or was it kind of the blank slate that Matt's talking about?
For sure. Yeah. So I am also from the South. My family is from Tennessee. That's
where I grew up. I can hear that. Yeah.
So, definitely when I told everyone that I was moving to Wisconsin to take a job, from the people back home, I absolutely got kind of a, wow, that's far. I don't know anything about that place.
Except it's cold.
Except it's cold. Exactly. It snows so much there. But I certainly did not know, as someone who had never lived in the upper Midwest, I did not know that there was such a border war between the two states. And when I moved here, you know, and met people from Wisconsin and also quite a few people from the Twin Cities, because I work with many people from the Twin Cities, that's when I really found out about that animosity between the two states. So it was fun to kind of discover it as I moved here.
It's friendly, but it's not sometimes, right?
Yeah.
It's not all sports and that. I mean, there really is competition. Here's somebody from JCAA Ammunition tweeting, "It's hard to be in the demographic mentioned today and own a manufacturing company in Minnesota. We desperately want to expand into our neighboring city. However, they have no viable economic plan for a company like ours. Relocating is something we consider often." Okay, so Matt, I think we're hearing somebody who has a company in Harris, Minnesota, and saying that they think about relocating. You would say to a small company like that, don't go because...
Well, the first thing I would do is listen and ask a question about specifically what the challenges are they have growing. And what we see in the companies that we deal with every day, my colleagues deal with, is the near-term availability of talent. Is that crunch small, medium, large? And so companies are looking at those opportunities. And I think that here, I don't know much about the particular communities that this company is looking at, but here that ability to be sure that you're going to get and keep that talent is the top concern.
So, right.
So knowing as much as I do about this place, I would say you'd probably run into much of the same challenges in the entire upper Midwest, right? This is a part of the country that is the labor force growth is approaching zero. You could ask the demographer about that. And so there are some things that we actually have quite a lot in common here. And part of the reason that you see Wisconsin doing what it's doing, or that you see the Make It MSP initiative growing, is because we're competing all across the globe, including in places around the country that are just, they're growing faster, right? Their population's growing faster. And so that's a challenge.
You probably are aware of this. I was reading up on retention and this study that came out of the University of Minnesota that found the Twin Cities is among the top 25 cities in the country for retaining its workforce. So if you can lure people to the Twin Cities here in Minnesota, they will often stay.
So it's one
breaking
of the,
down the barrier of coming here, yeah?
It's one of the strengths that has been for decades, and we actually just updated this data. This actually came from a professor named Miles Shaver who helped us build Make It MSP. And over the last few years of available data, we are still amongst the top metros in the country at retaining talent. And actually, we're about to publish a report that's going to come out in a few weeks that shows that 2016 was, in our metro region, actually the best year in over a decade. At retaining talent. And so
Is that about the economy, or what do you think that's about?
You know, that's it tends to be about people believing that the future of where they're at is a bright one, right? And so we're seeing fewer people leaving. And I think a lot of the reason for that is you're seeing the economic prospects here. You're seeing good trend lines. But we're going to have to dig into that data to learn more.
Call here from John in Coon Rapids. Hey, John, hi. What's your story on this?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I am an IT professional, 36 years old, family with four kids. Minnesota, I have had many calls, many opportunities to go other places, other states, certainly not to Wisconsin. I know many people that works in IT with me. They come from Wisconsin to work here for some of the reasons that one of the callers talked about, that Wisconsin has an image problem. So my two things I would like to say is that Minnesota is doing great in terms of retaining, and just the commenter just was saying about, you know, that the future seems to be brighter here. So even if I have an option to go a higher salary job in Silicon Valley, I would not go here because this is the best place to raise kids. There's good education, good all of these things.
So cost of living is really different. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Hey, Bridget, I thought we could play one of the ads that that the state of Wisconsin is playing. I think this is targeted at Chicago. So let's listen to this.
Okay.
An hour commute or an hour with friends? In Wisconsin, the average commute is less than 22 minutes. So you'll have more time to do the things you love. Wisconsin, it's more you.
Okay, I get that because the traffic is horrific in Chicago. But what's the deal there? Is it leave your job in Chicago and find one in Wisconsin, or live in Wisconsin and pay us your property taxes and your income taxes and work in Chicago? How's that work?
I suppose it could be both. But when I see those ads, what I really get from it is come live and work and recreate in Wisconsin. The TV ads show people, you know, paddling down the river and enjoying drinks on terraces. And
which you can't do in Chicago.
You know, I have a lot of friends that live in Chicago that saw these ads on the train.
Yeah.
And they thought they were pretty funny and asked me if Wisconsin was really that great. So,
and what'd you say?
I said that I love living here. You know, as someone who is a recent transplant, I do absolutely love it.
One of the things that I think one of the taglines for the ad is Wisconsin, it's more you. Matt, it's more you. What does that say to you? What's the subtext to that?
Well, I think what you're seeing is this is the decision to relocate is highly personal and individual, and there's no one tagline. And so I think you see their attempt to to try to be everything. And I think that the bigger the reason that they're entering the Chicago market goes back to the question you had for me before, Carrie. And when you're looking at places that people are leaving, the Chicago market actually has more tens of thousands more people leaving than coming to it every year. And so they're kind of planting a flag there and saying, can we get people who are leaving to choose Wisconsin?
Your sense about what that's about? Do you know?
I don't know. You know, you'd probably have to ask people in the Chicagoland area. We've seen things published. You know, we've talked a lot about, do you believe the future is bright? Right. And so if people believe that things are getting better there. And so might have to dig into that a little bit more.
Traffic isn't.
It's not. It's traffic. It's a lot of things. But this isn't a 1 year blip. This is a trend that's been growing over the last decade in the Chicago market.
Call here from Logan in Minneapolis. Hey, Logan, you're 22. Is that right?
Yep. Just turned 22 on Saturday.
What's your story? Talk to me.
So I'm about to graduate from college. I was born and raised on the border in Wisconsin in Osceola. I want to go through Somerset or Hudson. So I was born and raised there in sort of a small town, and I came to the Twin Cities. So I have a bit of experience on both, and I'm about to graduate from school and decide where am I going to go. I've had two previous friends who graduated in December, both degrees in media. One decided to move to Wisconsin, the other stayed in the Twin Cities. And as of now, the one who moved to Wisconsin has found employment, but not in his field. And the one who has stayed is still searching. So as a college student, you know, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to follow the jobs. Wherever it goes, I need one. But when it comes to deciding where to live, you know, I would love to stay in this area. I think the Twin Cities has a lot more to offer people our age in terms of the art scene, in terms of music and things to do. You know, Wisconsin is a great place as well, but when I think of where I grew up in Wisconsin, it's kind of country bumpkin. You're going to sit and look at some cows for fun.
But Logan, I think Scott Walker would love to get his claws on you because you're just the kind of person that he'd like to, you know, move to a city like Madison or Milwaukee, settle down, make a career there. Could you see that?
You know, definitely. If the job is there, I mean, I've kind of understood a bit of what Wisconsin life is like, and I've nothing against it. I've just so far found that there's a lot more to do and a lot more fun kind of in the metro area of the Twin Cities. So I'll go where the jobs are, but hey, if Scott Walker, if you want to send me something, I'm looking. I've got my applications out there.
I feel compelled to have to jump in and tell Logan that if he visits makeitmsp.org today, he'll find 55,000 plus open jobs, and we hope that one is the right fit for you, Logan.
Bridget, make the argument for Wisconsin. Okay. Why should Logan think about it?
I also moved here in my 20s. I'm 25. And having never lived in the upper Midwest before, Madison was the perfect place to kind of discover everything that is great about living in this region. There are great water resources, great recreation, and great food. So I really love living here in Madison.
Bridget Bowden with us from Wisconsin Public Radio. Matt Lewis with us, director of Make It MSP. And we're having some fun here with the cross-border battles. Scott Walker is trying to raid millennials from Minnesota and bring them into Wisconsin from the Twin Cities, from the state of Minnesota, and from Chicago. And I'm asking you, can you get something in Wisconsin you can't get here as a millennial? We have not yet talked about rents and affordable housing. And I really want to talk about that because I think that's an issue for the Twin Cities. So as a millennial, 18 to 35, are you looking at both places? How are you making a decision? Have you moved and moved back? I want to hear your story. 651-227-6000 on Twitter. At Carrie NPR. I got to figure out how to update my Twitter feed here. It's kind of smoking. To the phones to Kelsey in Luck, Wisconsin. Uh-oh. Kelsey, you have abandoned Minnesota for Luck, Wisconsin. Well, how's life?
Good, actually. We're kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I'm a stay-at-home mom, but my partner still works in the cities.
Mm.
We were living in Golden Valley in a two-bedroom condo and found that we weren't able to really spread out the way we wanted to with our family. We have three kids and two dogs. And so we started looking in our maximum commute, and we ended up in Northwest Wisconsin. And we were just really shocked and surprised and thrilled to discover that a lot of things are quite a bit cheaper here, like car insurance and unlike Minnesota, Wisconsin does have, or at least where we live, has free preschool 5 days a week for
wow,
half days.
That's a big deal. And I didn't know that.
Right, and yeah, and it's something that I always, growing up in the Twin Cities, thought it was something I was proud of, our education, you know, stuff like that. And what I'm finding is that a lot of that stuff that I just grew up taking for granted was better in Minnesota. I'm actually finding Wisconsin does quite a bit better. We're able to live on a 5.5-acre hobby farm across the street from a lake for the same cost that we were paying for a two-bedroom condo
Jeez.
In Golden Valley.
So did you buy a house there? You bought the farm or you're renting?
Yes.
Okay.
We purchased. We owned the condo and we bought the farm.
Have you paid your property taxes yet? Just saying.
No, they're not that bad, actually.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the call. So if Governor Dayton is listening to this, because, you know, pre-K, oh, man, to hear that, I didn't know Wisconsin had free pre-K throughout the state.
I didn't know that either.
Bridget, is that just in Luck or is that throughout the state?
You know, I would have to look up the exact specifics. I don't have kids, and education is not something I report on very often, so I don't want to say anything that's wrong. I know that, like the caller said, there are some programs, but I would have to look up more specifics
we'll
about how broad
that
is.
Matt, that thing about the condo, the farm, the family spreading out, that can't be the first time you've heard that about the cost of living in the Twin Cities.
Oh, absolutely
and
not.
And housing.
And I think when you look at the decisions people make, right, they might not do this with a spreadsheet. They might just do it in their head. But it tends to be a market basket, an index of things, right? And so some of it might be the space they need or the schools or the career opportunity they have or the commute. And so for everybody, that's a little bit different. And so depending on what the statistic is, you know, we might be better or worse at one thing or another. And so I think when you look at the overall index, there are things about Wisconsin that make that state great. There are things about Minnesota that make this state great. I think if you look at the stats and it comes out, I think we come out ahead a little more often than not.
But affordability is a thing.
But affordability
I'm sure you
is a real
about.
Thing. And I think the way that people tend to look at that, right, is in combination. It's not just one statistic, right? So I mean, the state of Wisconsin does have a lower medium household income, but also a lower price for a typical housing, right?
Got
so
it.
So if you look at that difference, you make a decision
right.
about where you want to be.
Kristen says on Twitter, I'm 26 and I've lived in Minneapolis my whole life. I've already been pushed out of my neighborhood because of rising rents. I would pay more in rent to live somewhere like Chicago with subway systems so I could get rid of my vehicle. Wisconsin doesn't have that appeal. Here's another listener who says, I pulled over in order to send you this tweet. I'd like to hear your guests comment on especially black millennials. We know that Minnesota is often put forward as a great place to live, but with little rational analysis, I fear the same erasure with this issue too. We touched on this earlier, Matt. Can you come back to when you do this work, this research on why people leave or why they won't come? Do you hear, because it's still a predominantly white city and white state?
So when we started this work, one of the first things we did is we looked at the fact that people of color, as I said earlier, were leaving at higher rates. And so we wanted to dig into why that is.
And so we had a professor from the University of St. Thomas named Janine Sanders-Jones work with a team of employers and professional associations and community groups here to dig into that. And they put together this, what we think is the most comprehensive survey done on the topic to 1,200 people of color here in this region. And the themes that came out of there have to do with everything from the difficulty of making connections to advancing in your professional career, to culturally specific amenities, to really important deep issues around bias and discrimination. And as I talked about before, that's not just Minnesota's challenge, that's America's challenge, and it's Wisconsin's challenge. And so a lot of the work is to understand, you know, what can we do as a community to improve? And if we continue to improve, you're going to continue to be a more attractive place. And so I talked before about the disparities we're facing. And if you look at those lists, Minnesota and Wisconsin show up near the top. And it's not just a moral imperative, right? You're seeing it's an economic imperative.
But these are specific proposals that have to come out of, you know, research like this, right?
Well, yeah, and there's a role for everyone, right? And when you take a human-oriented view of what people's experiences are, the solutions, some of them might be led by employers in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Some of them might be led by us as neighbors. Some of them might be government. It's no one single solution. When you look at a person's life holistically, you realize that it's coming from a little bit everywhere.
Dan says, I grew up in Wisconsin, just over the border from the Twin Cities. When we got married and picked a place to live, we chose Minneapolis for job opportunity and education system for our kids. Most of my teacher friends moved out of state when Walker rolled back the unions. We are staying in Minnesota. Bridget, I wanted to ask you about Foxconn because I think we just had a story on this morning about what the hiring is going to look like. Is that part of Governor Walker saying, look at the kind of new employers that we're putting? It's going into Racine near there. Is that right?
Yeah, in that region. Yeah.
Okay. So how does that figure into his argument?
The Foxconn deal was huge for Governor Walker, and it is expected to be a lot of jobs. So, I mean, I think it's definitely part of this marketing push. Certainly, the facility hasn't been built yet, so it might be a while. But if you're asking if that's maybe part of the reason why these seeds are started to be planted to get more young people, I think probably, yeah.
I do want to say that if you're a taxpayer in Wisconsin, you are, shall we say, underwriting many of those jobs because they're getting big tax incentives. Yes?
Right. Yes. Huge. And that is actually something that people who do not support the Foxconn deal take issue with. But yes, they were given huge tax incentives.
Okay. Keith says, not a chance. Only a PhD program at UW-Madison would get me to even consider. Well, maybe Governor Walker can set that up, Keith. To Jamunde in Minneapolis. Hi. Thanks so much for waiting. Hi.
Yeah, thanks for putting me on. I'm loving the show today.
Good. Thanks. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, well, I'm 30. I'm a black male. Uh-huh. My folks are from West Africa. I lived there for a little bit, more than a half of 10, came back when I was 10. Mm-hmm. Grew up in North Minneapolis. I feel that most millennials are going to end up returning. Some time back, I read about folks that leave Minnesota, about 80% of them end up returning. So,
really?
Yeah, all that effort, most likely we're going to end up coming back anyway. Great culture, diversity, great schools, and the transportation. I have never had any issues my entire time.
Are you kidding? Where do you?
I'm dead certain.
What?
You don't sit in traffic?
So you must, you take public transportation?
I've done.
Very smart man, you. I should.
Driven, taking public transportation. I've lived all over the state, traveled all over the state. I've had no issues. I kid you not.
Ah.
So sometimes when I hear people complaining about transportation, I guess I'm sort of left dumbfounded because I haven't really had an issue. I mean, with the exception of being in rush hour when you're leaving work, traveling to and from St. Paul or heading over to St. Louis Park or wherever you're going, yeah, that's rush hour. You're going to get that everywhere.
Right.
As far as incentives to get blacks, or more specifically black men, to move to Wisconsin, I guess what's the appeal for getting black millennial men to move to Minnesota, I would ask.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking.
You're asking what's the incentive to come to Minnesota?
Exactly.
Okay.
Are black men going to show up and running to the same issues that we run into here as far as job opportunity?
Yeah. Matt?
that's the reason where you start with improving at home, right? And if you're going to invite someone over to your house and your kitchen's on fire, it's probably not a good invitation. And so what we actually do see is people of color actually move around the country at higher rates.
Huh.
And that's true in any place. And that we're actually attracting people of color to this region at higher rates. But the caller brings up a good point, right? If you're going to come here and experience those challenges, what's the point of spending all the money
that's
to market
right.
to bring people there? And so that's not a place where we've started.
So, Jumonde, do you see yourself making your life and your career here?
Most likely.
So
go ahead.
It would be hard to lure you to a job, I don't know, in California or somewhere, you know.
Well, with the cost of living out there, no. My brother moved out there and he told me it's super expensive, so I think I'm going to stay here. Like one of your callers mentioned, it's a great place to raise family. It's super easy, easy in the sense of our lifestyle, very laid back, very rich culture. Here, I really haven't struggled finding a job. There's so many different alternative professions that you can make your way into.
Okay.
So, yes, there's some issues as far as race relations when it pertaining to jobs. But aside from that, Minnesota is not that difficult of a place to live if you can deal with the extreme cold sometimes.
There is that. And lots of snow. But then again, Bridget, I mean, that's the deal in Madison, too. What kind of a winter did you have? The same as we had? Because that scares people off, no doubt.
It does scare people off. We had less snow than you guys did this winter.
Okay.
But we did have quite a big snowstorm just a couple of weeks ago, actually. So it was pretty dry and cold winter until we were expecting spring. So, you know, as someone who moved up here from the south, it was certainly shocking, but I've kind of come to love it. I really like seeing
oh,
snow.
Oh, no, you're starting to sound like a native Midwesterner there. Now we have you. Aaron says, lakes, parks, good public transit, quality of life the Twin Cities has in spades. Wisconsin, nope. And then he adds, sadly, I'll probably end up in California or Seattle because so many companies here, he's seeing starting and running small businesses for 3 years as being long-term unemployed. I think he's saying that companies are headed west to California and Seattle. Do you find that, Matt?
Well, it's interesting. We've been looking west as a people for 300 years, and I think that that's continuing. You see trends of people moving to places like Colorado and Washington at higher numbers. But I think here what you're starting to see is a change in the last couple of years. And you're going to see this in the report that I mentioned that we're going to be publishing. And I think at some point, the same challenges that we've heard from callers, those places become very expensive and very crowded.
Yeah.
And so here we're seeing some positive trend lines.
Bridget, since you're the millennial in the conversation here, I was curious as to whether the millennial generation is looking for something that younger generations before them weren't looking for. And I thought maybe that's, you know, something about the way you grew up or you think about the trajectory of your career. Is it a different proposition for millennials today than when I was 25 or 30, like you?
It might be. I think one thing one of our earlier callers said was that he would go anywhere where there was a job.
Yeah.
And I think that is the case for many millennials. In some cases, one thing that probably wasn't so much of an issue in the past is broadband access.
Ah.
That's one thing that rural areas in Wisconsin do struggle with, having really top-notch internet. And I know from people I've talked to in reporting that does turn some young people away who may have moved to those areas had they been able to get access to really good internet.
That is a big deal. You've really put your finger on something here.
I jump in, too, as a millennial as well.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Oh.
I am. I'm one of them.
Okay.
I think one of the things that we've seen, and this may not be unique to millennials, but it's definitely true, is people pursuing a life of purpose. And I think that one of the things that we see that we think is great about this state is whether you look at our voting rates or volunteering or giving or being amongst the new business starts and people building and starting things, is people live a life of purpose here. And that's not unique to just Minnesota, but we tend to be at the top of those lists, right? And the more that we can share that, because people don't know that we've, for more than a century, been the problem-solving capital of the economy and food and in healthcare and these things, and people who want to apply purpose to their career, it's my story. I left and I went to Washington and I got to work in the halls of Congress, and I came back because I actually thought I could pursue that purpose here more than in that place. And I think that's true of a lot of other millennials.
What'd you
as
find
well.
Out about that?
I found out that not a lot happens.
Really? Caitlin says, I'm 26. Shout out to my fellow Duluth millennials who have a 5-minute commute, cheap rent, and getting good jobs. I travel to MSP, Milwaukee, Madison, Chicago, and other U.S. cities for work. I prefer Duluth, but there's definitely lack of diversity. Also, I don't like Walker's politics. I don't want to skip over what Bridget was saying about the broadband. That is a deal, right? If you don't want to live in the Twin Cities, it's hit or miss on whether you're going to be in a community with broadband, high-speed internet. What do we do about that, Matt?
Well, people want to have access to opportunity, and so providing that access is important. And people that have the next great ideas, it might come from anywhere in our state. There's a duo here called Great North Labs, Rob and Ryan Weber, who are entrepreneurs and investors that are focused on greater Minnesota. And
broadband there?
Not just broadband, but entrepreneurship, right? And so if you have access, if you have the tools, now the playing field is leveled. And so some of those tools might be broadband in a way that it might have in the past been a large production facility. And so
I
think that's
critical.
We've been
talking about this in this state for a long time. Bridget, you're fairly new to Wisconsin, but does this seem like a somewhat intractable issue that the state really should tackle?
It is a huge issue. I've talked to people just recently who are worried about this. I know that not just young people, but most people probably will take this into consideration if they're looking
right.
at moving into a new area. I mean, think of how many things we use the internet for.
Yeah. You don't want to get bogged down somewhere where you know, you're waiting for years, right, to get fast internet.
Right. So even people who might be considering working from home and living in some of our rural communities, this would be a huge factor in that decision of whether or not they could do that.
Hey, really good to have you on the show. Thanks for being a good sport, Bridget.
Thank you for having me.
Someday we'll get you in Minnesota. Bridget Bowden is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. I wanted to ask you, Matt, since we talked to Kat Richard in Rochester, and she's been reporting a lot on the Destination Medical Center. Now, you're all about MSP, Minneapolis-St. Paul, but do you see that as that thing is like a 25-year plan, right? It's going to bring in a lot of jobs,
yep.
maybe some new people. How does that fit in with your plans for the future of this area?
It's a major opportunity. And so for your listeners who wouldn't know, you know, the mission of my organization and my partnership is focused on our metro region. But the opportunities for St. Cloud and Mankato and Duluth and Rochester are the opportunities for our initiative as well. So when we're looking at our competition, we look at it globally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to recruit people from outstate Minnesota into the metro. We're trying to get people who have the whole world at their fingertips to consider this place. And if they land in Rochester for that opportunity that's there, that's great for us. And sometimes that might even be a partner who's working in the metro area, right? And like Kat herself, bounces back between the metro and Rochester. That's
right.
great for us.
Yeah. So you moved to Washington, D.C. for a while. I remember that because you were working for a member of Congress.
I was actually a reporter. And so I tend to be independent in all things, but I changed
Who
careers.
Who were you writing for?
So I worked for an entity called the Center for Public Integrity that did investigative work.
Okay.
And so I moved back here and changed careers.
So what did you learn about leaving Minnesota?
I learned that there are a lot of great places to live and that, right, there's a lot of great things about any place somebody chooses. There are great things about Washington as well. But the thing I found there was I actually found that people weren't investing in the community for the long term.
In
and I
DC?
Wanted to be in a place that people valued not only working on globally important things, but actually valued building a community. And I think you get both here.
Good to have you here. And good to see you again. Thanks so much
Thank
for coming
you.
In. By the way, if you missed our protest music show, I want to get more music shows on the air. And I loved this one. We played a lot of music. We talked to Brother Ali and Rodney Carmichael from NPR. If you missed that show at 9 o'clock, it's right there on the podcast. Listen when you have some time.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Kerri at @KerriNPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.